Imam W. Dean Muhammad, the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. Imam W. Dean Muhammad speaks. The following is part three of a lecture entitled An Indirect Approach to Family Problems for Getting a Better Situation at Home, recorded Saturday, September 28, 1991, in Dayton, Ohio.
Quickly, let me come to something now a little more touching. But before, pardon me, before, let me give you what is reported in the tradition by one of the excellent reporters of Hadith. He reports that the Prophet said the prayers and the peace be on him of the woman. Now this is Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-As. He reported that the Prophet said, "Ad-dunya mata'un, wa khayra mata'uha al-mar'atu salihah." The world, the dunya means the world. The world is a benefit, gain, profit, gain, benefit, usefulness, whatever. And the best of its benefit, or its rewards, or its whatever you want to, however you want to translate that, the material benefits, material rewards, and the best of its reward, the best that we have of all this world, he's talking about the whole world. What did he say? A virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. Now all that we can see as benefits in this world, the Prophet is saying to us, the best, more better than the cars, brother, more better than the business, to have the business, more better than to be rich and powerful, more better than everything in the world, eating that good dinner. Some of you love to eat too, you know. I guess it's because we've been poor for a long time. Some of us, we just love to eat. The whole thrill is in eating. Better than that dinner, that good meal, whatever you have of the world, is the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman. So that tells us that we should value a believing sister who wants to be decent over everything else that we have in the world of the worldly things. Now we're talking about the sister as a worldly thing now. We're talking about enjoying her as a companion, as my sexual companion. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about a wife. We're talking about the woman, right? So, and isn't that a fact of nature? See, whatever this religion says, nature will support it too. Reality of nature will support it. Now don't tell me, brother, if you're a real natural, normal person, man, your best enjoyment is not eating that meal, not riding in that car, not going to an entertainment, seeing a nice movie or seeing a nice show, or hearing a nice saying or band or whatever, or smoking that joint that you do sinfully. If you will tell the truth, your best enjoyment is being comfortable with that sister. So the Prophet didn't say something wrong. Our nature testifies to it. Peace and blessings be upon the Prophet. Now, also, the Prophet says, the prayers and the peace be on him, paradise lies at the feet of the mother. Huh? Paradise lies at the feet of the mother. Here, the Prophet has made paradise something that we can get through the mother. Through the mother. He says paradise lies at her feet. If he said paradise lies at the route 65 out there, won't we start looking for it? He said paradise lies at the foot of the mother. So we should go look at her. Go looking for it. Go to her. Support that mother. Respect her. Love her. Value her. Invest in her. Yes. Because paradise lies at her feet. It's not me. This is a religion. Don't charge me with saying it. Everybody want to accuse me of bitter. Oh, that's an innovation. The imam is guilty of always bringing an innovation into religion. But he gets that from his father. No, that's no bid'ah. That's the bit. Put it in your mouth and you'll be guided right. I may surprise you. I am not against Afrocentricity if it is honest and straight. I wasn't against, and I'm not against, black studies in our schools and on our campuses. But I'm not comfortable with it because I know it hasn't been honest and straight. Likewise, for this belief that's being spread now under the influence of the name Afrocentricity. I'm not pleased with it at all. Why? It says that we should make Africa the center, right? That's what it says. We should make Africa the center, and all of us of the African family should look to Africa as the center. But it ignores Islam that has become the center and has been the center for the continent of Africa for many centuries. For many centuries. Our religion has been the center for that continent. But they want to ignore that and go to idolatry. Anything but true religion. They don't even respect real Christianity on the continent. They want to go to idolatry. So that tells me that someone wants to sell me an Afrocentric belief that is a cheat. It's cheating me out of my rich past and identity with the continent of Africa. Africa, before al-Islam, we know it had ancient civilizations. But why should I ignore traces, small remnants of an ancient civilization, when I have nearer to me in time great evidence of mighty people, mighty civilization, influenced by Islam, Islamic civilization. Now they will mention Songhai, they will mention Askia the Great, they will mention these figures, but they mention them passing over, passing by, playing down any importance for Islam in their life. And you have to search to find the connection with al-Islam. When you should have to search to find the connection with the ancient bones, with the ancient superstitions, with the ancient idolatries. You should have to search to find that, because al-Islam came and overshadowed that and pushed idolatry and primitive behavior out of the continent of Africa almost totally. And also Christianity has had a great role on that continent. So if they're going to bring us to an Afrocentricity, they should respect the fact that that religion revealed by God has done more for that continent than any so-called idolatry or primitive ideas about religion. Established religion, Christianity and al-Islam, particularly al-Islam, has done more for the civilizing of that continent, for the enrichment of the intellect and the human nature and soul of that continent than anything else. This is a fact of history. So why cheat me? If you want me to make Africa my center of my life, the center of my focus for my reality, then don't cheat me. Don't have me looking at bones and superstitions faked up cosmetic ideas when there's real truth of the excellence and civilization of these people that I can go right to in history and touch it. What does that tell me? And if you study who were involved in spreading this belief called Afrocentricity or whatever, this connection with that idea, you will find that the enemies of Islam are among them. The enemies of our religion are among them. So I want to say to you that this affects the family too. This is going to spread. Pretty soon, your family members are going to be influenced by this wave of Afrocentricity. Your boys are going to be influenced by it. Already some of our children are influenced by it. The prophets of that idea, the false prophets, the cheaters, the false cheating prophets of that idea, they're getting on the television, they're on the media, they're reaching our homes. And they're fascinating us. Why? Because our souls have a great void. We have a great need to connect with our ancient land, our ancient people, with ancient history. America has kept all that from us, and now it gives us it to us in a very deceitful way by letting the enemies of Islam tell us about our past. When our past has been mostly Islam, and it should be the Muslims telling us about that past and not the enemies of Islam. So they're cheating us. Even while they're pretending to be sincere and straight, they're cheating us out of the truth of our past. Cheating us out of it, the richness of our past. They're cheating us. And I repeat, the false prophets are going about preaching that idea. And they're reaching our homes. They're reaching your children. More and more they're going to be reaching us. Muslims, we have to be aware of that. You have to remember, sisters and brothers, to tell your children that don't you be taken by this. The best past we have as people of Africa is Islamic. The greatest page of glory, the greatest page for our achievement is Islamic, and nothing else but Islamic. We appreciate the Christians, what they have done on the continent of good, but what they have done has been nothing. It hasn't left nothing when we compare the influence of this religion, quote Islam, or El-Islam, on the life of that people we call the African people. They have done nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that we're in the best shape. The Muslims of the world are not in the best shape. Why? Because, as our God says, He rotates the rule. He rotates the rule. That means that though we are His people, though Muslims are His people, we are God's people, that means that we are not always going to be rulers on this earth. God rotates the rule to try people, to test, see how these people behave. How will we know how other people will treat Muslims if they never get a chance to be in the superior position? How will we know how we will treat other people if God never give us a chance to be in the superior position? So there's a lot of wisdom in this, that God rotates the rule as He pleases. So God rotated the rule, and the Christian West got into power. And they colonized Africa. And they dominated most of the Muslim world, practically all of it. And they left their influences there. They strained the life of the Muslim. They tried to alter the life of a Muslim. So the Muslim will never find his true Islamic life. They dominated those places for centuries. So don't wonder why Muslims are not great. We have just come out from oppression. We have been oppressed by the West. Whether in Africa or in the Middle East or in India, wherever we have been oppressed by the West. So don't blame us for the state we're in now. Blame yourself for not trying to find the truth, for not searching your Quran and searching the history of our prophet, the peace and the blessing be on him, to learn the truth straight from the sources, straight from the genuine sources. Let us blame ourselves. Don't blame the state of the Muslims in the world. We need a climate for healthy homes, for healthy Muslim homes. And I hope I'm contributing something to bringing that about. My last note for this talk is on this. You'll be hearing now, freedom, big word, democracy. Democracy is catching on, wildfire in Europe, right? All over Europe. Russia now, glasnost, openness, democracy. We expect it's going to sweep in the world. Democracy is sweeping the world. You as Muslim, you must understand that the West was oppressing itself. The West, Christian West, was oppressing itself, denying women respect that they are due by nature and by God and from God, refusing to give them opportunity to be educated. Some Christian sects were saying that the women did not have a soul. Only the men, male, has soul. Women have no soul. Christians were doing this. They were oppressing not only us, but they oppressed even their own. They enslaved their own people. Their workers was treated like a slave, Workers were treated like a slave market. You should read, you should study, some of you scholars, not all of you, all of us can't do this, but some of you scholars, if you haven't done it, you should make it your business to study the history of the progress of labor. The progress of labor in the history of the West. Labor used to be treated like beasts. Not only us. Don't think that they brought Africans over here from Africa and that began their mistreatment of human beings. No, they treated them steadily. You should read some of the treatment of the English toward the Irish that they dominated. The English were over the Irish. You should read how they treated the Irish. How they disrespect the Irish male. Because they thought the English were superior, a superior breed to their Irish brother of the same color. You should know these things. So we're hearing all this talk about freedom now, about democracy. As Muslims, we have to stay separate from this thing. We don't want the democracy that the West is all upside, excited about. We want a better democracy than that. Well, where is a better democracy than that? It's in Quran. It's in the life of Muhammad the Prophet, the prayers and the peace be upon him. While we're excited about this thing, let us go to the Quran and let us get the insight and let us get the knowledge and the insight from the Quran to come up with the right idea for freedom and democracy. Because it was the Quran and the life of the Prophet that lit the torch of freedom for the West and brought them to accept civilization and democracy. And what they have is their brand of it. Not conforming exactly to what Allah wants in the Quran. They are not conforming to that. And in connection with that, I want to say this in my conclusion. Be aware of the hypocrisy, too. I love this country, I love this freedom, I love all of it. But be aware of the hypocrisy, too, in the West. What hypocrisy am I talking about? The West, especially America is the model for this special kind of freedom. You won't find the same hardly anywhere in the Western world. America is the place for this, what they call, quote, experimental freedom. Experimental democracy. This is an experimental democracy, an experimental freedom. All right. So what does that say? That says this, that America has a very unique and strange form of freedom and democracy. On the one side, it's beautiful and great and very attractive. On the other side, it's frightening. Because this idea of freedom that we have in America allows freedom to everything. There's freedom to the person who wants to indulge in an experience of immorality, perversion. If he wants to explore the possibilities for perverted sex, he has the freedom to explore the possibilities for perverted sex and come up with something so strange and so way out to make all of us feel like jumping off. As somebody said, stop the world, let me jump off. Have all of us said, stop the world, let us jump off. Yes, so that's the kind of freedom we have here. Now, also, we have to understand that though our religion promotes freedom, insists upon freedom, la ikraha fid din, no compulsory in religion, no forcing people to be Muslims, no forcing people to pray, though our religion insists upon that, we must understand too, that our religion respects what is due respect. Now, it respects the privacy of the home. It respects the privacy of a society. Do you think the Prophet would send his disciples or his followers to Rome to convert the Pope? He didn't do it. He never sent his disciples to go to Rome to convert the Pope. What does that tell us? That he accepted what God says. That God sent prophets to all of these people. And that if he had wanted you all to be one community, he would have made you one community.
Thank you for your financial support of Imam Muhammad's ministry and this radio broadcast. Your contributions are appreciated. Send your donations to the MACA Fund. That's M-A-C-A, the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. That's the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409.
So he accepts that that is the will of God, that some people be Christians, some people be Jews, some people be something else. And as long as they are sincere in their religion, the prophet didn't disturb them. You must understand that right next door to Arabia, you can stand on Arabian soil and throw a stone into Africa, into Ethiopia. That's just how close they are at certain points. Ethiopia only separated by what? That little water strip? Little water strip separates. Yeah, so you can almost throw a stone over there and hit it. Ethiopia was so close that his followers, during persecution, they went to Ethiopia to seek political protection or asylum. That country is still Christian. The prophet's army was mighty enough to go and dominate Ethiopia. He didn't do it. There are Coptic Christians still in Egypt. They were there. They have traditionally been there. They were there before the prophet. They were there during the prophet, and they're still there. Not only in these places. I'm just naming you a few places. Coptic Christians, still there. Why didn't he force those people to become Muslim? Because he respected those people. They were sincere in their religion. And Christianity is a recognized religion. A religion, though we don't recognize the deviations in Christianity, we recognize the purity of origin. The purity of origin for Christianity and for Judaism. The purity of origin. So the prophet wasn't about going in there, stamping out or dominating those people and stopping them from practicing their religion. Instead of doing that, he did something that makes him stand out above all conquerors. What did he do? He established, he mandated in Medina that the freedom of religion would be granted to the Jews. And they will be able to practice their religion just as they had done before the rule of Muslim came. That's what he mandated. So I can go on talking about that, but that's too much. I'm getting to my point. I want to get to my point now. And that's the hypocrisy that I mentioned. Where is the hypocrisy in the West? They are asking now. Here I have right before me. The Pope. This is not new. This is something that maybe a month old or more than that. Pope urges a convert drive, even where Muslims banned it. Now, this might sound good, you know, to us that are sentimental about freedom, sentimentally involved with the concept of freedom, with democracy and the beauty of it and everything. We might be overly romantic, and we might be, oh, yes, if we want, would they allow us to propagate in America, in a Christian country? Yes, they should be allowed to propagate in our Muslim countries. This is a special kind of democracy. This is an experimental democracy. Certainly they can afford to let Muslims come in here and preach al-Islam freely. Certainly they can afford that. Because the devil is free too. Here in America. He has the same freedom. The devil has equal freedom with us. So certainly they can do that. This country is not established to preserve any particular idea, any particular religion, any particular moral persuasion. It is established to give freedom to everybody to compete with each other in a wilderness called civilization. I mean, maybe some of you don't like this language, but it's the fact. It's the truth. And you have to cut out your civilization in the wilderness. Huh? And you have to battle Satan and battle the influences of the wilds to preserve and keep your life in this experimental democracy. Why should we invite that in Mecca? For anybody to have such an idea as a Muslim, he's crazy. Oh yeah, they should be allowed, since we allowed to come here in America and preach religion, they should be allowed to have churches in Mecca. No, they should not. They should not. Why they should not? Ain't nobody, Muslims are there. Ain't nothing but Muslims there. You invite everybody here. Atheists are here. And you invite them here. We don't invite atheists to Mecca. We don't invite disbelievers to Mecca. So what do you want to go there and preach to believers for? Have the respect that the prophet had. He didn't go to Rome and preach to the Pope. He didn't go to the Vatican and preach to the Vatican. He realized that there was a solid place, no idolaters, all solid religious people, under religious authority, qualified religious authority. They were entitled to have their own freedom of religion, to have their own choice of religion. He left them alone. Now there's a solid Muslim nation over there, solid Muslim nation, Saudi Arabia. What do you look like asking, Mr. the Pope of Rome? What do you look like asking now that they opened up Saudi Arabia, opened up Mecca, for them to go and preach over there? I'm telling you, he needs to go back to bed and wake up again. And I hope to visit him one day. I have great respect for him. I hope that he gives me an audience one day. Yes, I've asked a long time ago, and I asked again recently, for an audience with the Pope of Rome. Because I think I can help him understand Muslim sensitivities, if nothing else. So let us be aware of these things. And don't be caught off guard. This wave of freedom is strong. Yes, it's strong. And the West is thinking now that America is a model for democracy for the whole world. Even for Muslims. No nation, no people will be a model for us. Allah says you are the best people raised up, evolved for the good of all mankind. We pray Allah's guidance always, His forgiveness. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
The Sensemaker presents Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. This new book is must-reading for everyone, which gives a concise and historical understanding of Al-Islam. Imam Muhammad's new book is filled with photos and graphics and words of wisdom that appeals to common sense. Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Order your copy by sending a check or money order for $7.95 plus $1.50 shipping and handling to The Sensemaker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's The Sensemaker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. For more information and wholesale rates, call 312-243-7600. That's 312-243-7600. Get this dynamic new book from Imam W. Dean Muhammad, The Sensemaker. Imam W. Dean Muhammad, his new historical video is now available to you. Get this timely video of the mission of Imam Muhammad, 2 hours of Islamic objectives. This is the first in a series of videos, so get yours now while supplies last. Send $29.95 plus $5 shipping and handling to Zakat Publications, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. That's Zakat Publications, P.O. Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. Get your video of Imam W. Dean Muhammad today. Imam W. Dean Muhammad Speaks. Join us again next week for Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you for listening.